TMZ TV.
Hi everyone, this is Martin Sender from South Florida, the bottom of the edge of the Floridian Peninsula. Welcome to another MZTV episode. Today I'm going to talk to you about my new book, Beyond Politics. The subtitle of this book is What to Do While We're Here. Yes, for those of you who don't like me to talk about politics, you better check out right now. You've been warned. I'm going to talk about politics, but don't worry. I don't plan on mentioning Trump. I'm not going to say the name Donald Trump once. I have determined that during this entire show, I will not, especially not say President Trump, because I don't want to trigger anybody. Because some people, just when they hear the name Trump, or especially President Trump, they just get triggered, and I don't want to be the cause of any unrest or dis-ease out there. I don't want to stir up the Trump derangement syndrome. Did I just say Trump again? I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Trump. But before I start into Beyond Politics, I'm just going to do a couple days on this. I got to show you this once again. This time my lighting is divine. And I want to show you the glory train again. This carries over from yesterday. The glory train. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can't make this up. I just like this topic so much, I had to mention it one more time. God. Everything starts with God in the glory train. Christ comes out of God. This is a picture like a telescope. Christ comes out of God. Christ is the glory of God. He reflects God. He really projects God. Yes, he projects God. And then out of Christ comes man, humanity. Humanity comes out of Christ. And humanity, ideally, projects Christ. And then out of man comes woman. What does woman do? You guessed it. She projects man. But what comes out of woman? Her hair. And her hair projects herself. Her hair gives the world a good image of her, just as she gives the world a good image of man, just as man ideally gives the world a good image of Christ, and Christ gives the world a good image of God. So the glory train goes like this, starting with God, invisible. I know I said this yesterday, I gotta say it again. Invisible to more visible. This isn't, again, an order of greatness. It's an order of glory. It goes from more invisible to less invisible, i.e. more visible. But this is the inspired glory train. God, Christ, man, woman, tresses. This is the inspired order of things in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Therefore, am I crazy? No. Am I crazy to say that tresses, this is God's thing, not me. God, Christ, man, woman, hair, or tresses. Tresses is long hair, okay? A butch woman does not have tresses. She has hair, but not tresses. Tresses tumble. Tresses tumble. Yeah, I can't say it any better. Tresses tumble. Now, tresses are the first contact. You see why I said this yesterday. The world's first contact with God. This is all part of the same train. This is approved. This order of things is approved by God. He inspired Paul to say it. This is why women make such a big deal out of their hair and why men make such a big deal out of their hair. All right, had to say that again. That takes care of Eve raised. Buy it. Beyond Politics. Let me tell you what I did at the beginning of this book. I've been wanting to publish the story I wrote at the beginning of this book for years, because this book has been in my computer for years. You may ask, Martin, why has this book been in your computer for years and you have just now published it? Because Satan is a wily enemy. I have 15 more books in my computer that are not published, because Satan is a wily enemy. That's all I can tell you. And he distracts, and he gets people off track, and he knows what it'll take to do that, and he's just a wily enemy. But I am combating Satan, and God gives us things to wrestle with so that we can overcome, and I am overcoming, and things are going to be great. But anyway, I have a story I started this book with, Beyond Politics. I want to tell you about this because it has a history. It's an essay that I wrote in probably 1990. Yes, I start this book, Beyond Politics, with an essay I wrote in 1990 that I sold to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, largest newspaper in Ohio. I was a freelance writer back then. I hadn't started this work yet, this maybe 89, 90, and I had this crazy idea. I thought, what if there were mainstream Christians alive in the time of Christ, and they were politically oriented like they are today, and they want to take the reins of government because they want to make America a Christian nation, and they want to get everybody praying, especially on the National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May. That's why they post the Ten Commandments. They want everybody to live by the Ten Commandments, even though the law came as a dispensation of condemnation and death. Never mind that. We want everybody to do the Ten Commandments, in spite of the fact that no flesh at all can do the law or can obey the dictates of God, Romans chapter 8. Never mind that. So these politically minded Christians, they want power, just like the believers of our Lord's day, because they wanted him to be a political savior. Now, Jesus Christ will be a political savior, and I talk about that in this book, Beyond Politics. But he didn't come the first time as a political savior because, no, he wanted people to know that, yeah, I can take over the government. I can. I have the power. Now, I'm the Son of God to take over the government. But you people, he came to Israel, need changed from the inside before you can change the outside. You have to understand that power does not come by military might. It does not come by large and powerful government. It does not come by laws that are enforced by human strength. No, but it comes by a goodness and a peace and a love from within. And the love of Christ changes lives. It's that changes lives, not machine guns. Well, they'll change lives, all right. They will end lives. But the true power that's going to take over this world starts from the inside. This is why Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. He didn't mean that it wouldn't be a political kingdom. Some people mistake that verse. They hear that the kingdom of God is within you, and they say, oh, this proves that the kingdom of God is not going to be a literal outward political entity because it's within you. No, it's still going to be a literal political entity on this earth. What Jesus was saying was it is going to come not through outward reforms, not through forcing yourself through the Venturi tube of law, not by being a disciplined one, not by, you know, trying to make a checklist and obey everything. No, it comes from the Spirit of God within. And Jesus Christ was the perfect example of this when he's before Pilate. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world. Oh, that's one quote this is a big verse in this book. Jesus says, if my kingdom were of this world, my people would be fighting for me. They'd be fighting, but my kingdom is not of this world. This is why he was so cool and collected in front of Pontius Pilate, because his kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom was of another world. But you say, isn't Jesus going to come back to this earth? Yes, but he's going to come back to this earth, but it'll be a different world, because we're going to see a change of eons after the tribulation. There's going to be a new world. The word world in the Greek is cosmos. It just means an arrangement, the way things are done. The system, that's what the word literally means in the Greek. The cosmos, the word cosmos in the Greek means a system. So yes, Jesus Christ is not of this system. The system today is military might, power, outward strength, a forcing of yourself to obey laws, force other people to be good. But Jesus said, no, this is not how the kingdom comes. The kingdom comes from within. So his kingdom, the kingdom he's talking about, that is generated from a heart of love, from a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. That kingdom is of a different world. It's a different system. Okay? So Jesus Christ is going to return to the same earth, but it'll be a different system. It'll be a different cosmos. It'll be a different eon. Eon speaks of the time frame. The cosmos speaks of the system that is existing during that time frame. So, the believers of Jesus' day, or should I say the wannabe believers, the people who thought they were believers, they wanted Jesus to come as a political Messiah. They didn't want any of this touchy-feely, get in touch with yourself, repent, be baptized. They're going, where's the machine guns? We have to kick Rome out. We are going to stage a military coup with Jesus Christ as our leader. He can do great miracles. He walks on water. He feeds the multitude in the wilderness, so sure as heck he can oust the Romans. But they were in for a big surprise. Kingdom's not coming from without like that. It's coming from within. But these people were militant. They're not people of peace. Most people of the world aren't people of peace. And forget about people who claim to be believers. These are some of the worst kinds because they get this self-righteous attitude, and they want to change everybody for Christ. They want to make everybody like they are. They want to turn you into a self-righteous Pharisee, otherwise known as a Christian. And so they want to make this nation a Christian nation, just like the Israel of the first century wanted Jesus to be a political Messiah. He is a political Messiah, but first he had to change the heart, so he came as a little baby in Bethlehem. Instead of coming in on a white horse, like he will in the future, he came in on the foal of a donkey, a little baby donkey. Yeah, embarrassing. Not for me, I love it. The people of Israel were embarrassed by it. They wanted to come in on a tank. He came in on a tricycle. Because the change would not be based on outward appearance or a show of great military might. So I wrote an essay around 1990. What if modern Christians were back in the time of Christ during his trial and they mobilized? These are Christians of today, but they're back in time. They go back in time and they are there during the trial of Christ. And we know that everything about the trial of Christ was illegal. It was wrong. There were no two witnesses who agreed as to what Jesus had said. The Sanhedrin were meeting in the middle of the night to conspire as to his death, which was against their law to meet in the middle of the night. They had no law. He did not break any law that would put him to death. They had to appeal to Rome, which they didn't like to have any dealings with Rome at all. But Rome and Jerusalem became friendly in their coordinated efforts to get rid of Jesus Christ. Sick. Sicko. Pilate and Herod, best buds after this. Sick. That's what a common enemy will do to you. They picked the wrong enemy. Jesus Christ, bad decision. Bad decision there, ladies and gentlemen. So I put these Christians back in the first century. And what I have them doing in this essay is they mobilize. A couple of them, Ray and Faith, their names, Ray and Faith, they find out that Jesus has been arrested illegally, taken to the Sanhedrin. They have an illegal gathering of the Sanhedrin, and they immediately get on, they have their cell phones, and they call their fellow prayer warriors, and they say, they've taken Jesus. And they mobilize, and they get posters, and they get bullhorns. And as Christians like to do, they call all their friends, they mobilize. I'm sure they get in prayer circles. They're praying for Jesus, but more than that. No, these are political activists. They don't just sit around praying. Oh, no. They're going to march on the Praetorium, and they are going to they have access to a printing press, and they print up these pamphlets about how illicit the arrest was and how great Jesus is, and they distribute these pamphlets out by the North portico of the Praetorium, and they get quite a sizable crowd, these Christians do, and the bullhorns are really effective, and they have very clever sayings on their signs. They march with signs outside the Praetorium. One sign says, "Ground Pilot." Ground Pilot, Ground Pilot, and they're chanting this, "Free Jesus." That's not quite as clever as Ground Pilot. It's not bad. Free Jesus. You got the alliteration there, but Ground Pilot, Ground Pilot. Illegal arrest, police brutality, boom, boom. So Pilate comes out, this is all in my essay, and, you know, "Behold the man." Ah, the people scream and cry. And Pilate says he has a way out. He says, because he likes Jesus, kind of. So he says, "Well, it is a tradition this time of year for the Passover. I release a prisoner to you. I have this notorious prisoner over here. He stole some cars, killed some people. He's a racketeer. His name's Barabbas. And I have this nice man, Jesus, who really hasn't done anything wrong." And we know how the story goes in the Bible. The story in the Bible says the people shouted, "Free Barabbas." Pilate couldn't believe it. What? These people are morons. Free Barabbas. But his hands were tied. He had to do it. But not in my essay. Ho, ho. The Christians were a force to be reckoned with. Pilate, I tell you what, the high priest, actually, the Christians do Pilate a great favor. The high priests wanted Jesus to die, and they had stacked the crowd with people who would shout Barabbas. They paid them off, probably. When Pilate comes out and says, "I'll free either Barabbas or Jesus," here's $10, say Barabbas. And here's $20, say it loud, okay? But they didn't reckon with the Christian force. The Christian force had their people who shouted, "Free Jesus." And they were so organized and they had mobilized so efficiently that they shouted down the priests' stooges, and lo and behold, because of this organizational genius and the zeal of people like, well, I forgot to mention, Pastor Winton. Besides Ray and Faith, there was Pastor Winton and Brother Dave, and there was a prayer group from Bethesda that came together. They mobilized, they outshouted the high priests and their cronies, and because of this great political activism, Jesus Christ was freed. Jesus Christ was spared a wrongful death. And because of that, he went his way, reestablished his carpenter career. And because of the organizational zeal of the many Christians of that day, many people today can make a mean end table. Yeah, based on the Jesus model, Jesus became famous for his end tables. Anyway, believe it or not, I sent this essay to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. All this is illustrative, obviously, of the Christians today who think that it is God's desire to bring the kingdom through their organizational zeal, through their overpowering government, by clever legislative tricks, by clever signs, by clever slogans with social media, by preaching politics from the pulpit, by telling their people to call their senators, call their congressmen, and they are going to bring this country to make it a Christian country, and Jesus won't have to come back, and the tribulation won't have to happen because the Christians will successfully curtail those things which God foolishly says has to have to happen in the book of Revelation. No, 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 don't have to happen. Christians will bring it from within them instead of from Christ bringing it from without and wrecking the systems of earth, the current world, both religious and political. Yes, I said both religious and political. Anyway, I sent that essay to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And there was a guy there up there, the editorial director, James Strang, who really liked me. I was just an unknown kid from Greenwich, Ohio, and I just wrote essays about my family and about crazy stuff that came into my head. And most of them he published, and I got paid for them. This was my first publishing job. This is my first professional writing gig. I was getting paid. It's pretty exciting. I couldn't believe it. I'm sending these stories, and this guy goes, yeah, these are great. And they were running in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and thousands of people were seeing. I was so excited. But he said that when he got this essay, he got it at Easter time. I sent it to him at Easter time about Christians rescuing Christ. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to get in trouble if I run this essay. This is going to cause a backlash in the religious community because this guy, Martin Zender, he is kind of making fun of Christians. Yeah, well, it became my career, didn't it? And he showed it to some of the higher-ups, and they didn't want him to publish it. But you know what? He said, I'm going to publish it anyway. Yeah, he pulled a Trump on him. Oh, I wasn't supposed to mention that name, Trump. Sorry. So Jim Strang of the Cleveland Plain Dealer ran the story, the essay that you're going to read in Beyond Politics. And ladies and gentlemen, that is, a leaf just blew into my face. Did you see that? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's just the beginning of this book, Beyond Politics. It starts with a bang, yes it does, to make the point that the political change that we're all looking for. There is relative political change that we all want. We all want things to go well on Earth. We want leaders in office that will make things better for humanity, but no government of man is destined to succeed. There's a reason for that, and I'm going to get into that reason in the next few days. You don't have to wait, of course. You can order Beyond Politics today, along with Eve Raised and my other book, which I'll be getting into next, called Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. But for now, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth. But he's not coming to congratulate the earth on a job well done. He's coming to finally wreck, in no uncertain terms, human religion and politics in order to establish divine religion and politics.